Good morning, all. Today's Bible reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with the power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ.
So as was mentioned earlier, we're in this series, Surprise the World. Hopefully it's been an encouragement to you. Hopefully you've got a lot from it. And today we're going to be focusing on chapters 5 and 6, which is the next two missional habits, which is about listening to the Spirit and learning about Jesus. And the thrust of chapter 6 is very much about learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because with each of these missional habits, we need to be listening to the Spirit, amen, as to who he is sending us and what he wants to say to certain people. And I encourage you to read that chapter in the book. There's also a little excerpt in your newsletter about that habit. But this morning we're really going to focus in on learning Jesus and as the fourth missional habit, or third missional habit, sorry. So let me pray for us as we come to understand what that looks like this morning. Well, yeah, Father, we've been praying a lot, but Lord, we realize that is our way of communicating with you. And so, Father, as we come now in this part of our service to come under your word and this teaching, Lord, we just pray, Father, that your Spirit would again move in and through us, that you would open our hearts and minds, our eyes to what you are doing in our midst, in our calling, Lord God, your calling upon our lives to share the good news of Jesus Christ and how we go about that. Father, be with me. I pray you again equip me with the gifts and the skills required to faithfully proclaim this message. And I just pray, Father, that you would be encouragement to us all here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Salvation Army, one of the most recognisable organisations across the world, would we agree? And especially within Australia. In many ways, they can be seen as a great example of what it looks like to live out questionable lives within our community, especially within our local community. And as most of you know, I have a soft spot for the Salvos. I attended the Salvation Army Church for many years, the first 12 years of my life with my family, and it was the first experience I had about learning Jesus and accepting Jesus into my life and what that looks like. And my grandparents were Salvation Army officers. I've got a long history in my family on both sides within the Salvation Army. One of my favourite memories as a kid growing up in the Salvation Army was collecting for the Red Shield Appeal. And that happened a few weeks ago in our local community. Maybe you got a knock on the door, maybe you didn't. But this is their annual appeal to raise funds for the work they do across the world with the poor, marginalised and oppressed. And I remember doing this. I have fond memories of going to house in the local community with my cousin, undertaking this work. I loved it. It was just a great opportunity to engage with the community. And it was a great, I guess, example for me as a young child coming through as a young Christian. But I remember at college, at Bible college where I attended, Morland College, I had the opportunity to sit under Mike Frost and his teachings and a number of lectures. I remember a story he told about an experience he had when he went Red Shield collecting. And he actually helped out the Salvos in his local area because they were a bit smaller. They needed help, so he put his hand up to help out, to go door to door asking for donations. And Mike actually volunteered, as I said. He got given the identification card, the little red bucket with the Red Shield or the Salvation Army logo on the front. And he went house to house asking for donations for the Salvation Army. And he tells a story of knocking on one door, and this man came to the door very warm, very enthusiastic. And Mike said he absolutely loved the Salvos. He loved it. And the reason why was because as a young boy, they helped him, helped the family in a time of need. And he was very receptive to them, and he was very appreciative of the Salvos getting them through this difficult time. And he was just so grateful for the assistance that he and his family had received as a young boy. In fact, the man continued to ask questions of Mike. He was so intrigued. He actually wanted to know more about the Salvation Army. And he says, are you a church or are you a charity? What exactly do you do? What do you believe? Do you baptize? Do you agree with same-sex marriage? Are you like Southern Baptists or are you more like Pentecostals? And much to Mike's embarrassment, this man went on and on and on asking questions about the Salvation Army. And the reason I say it was to Mike's embarrassment is because Mike's not actually a member of the Salvation Army. He was just helping out. And so he's this man rattling off questions and he's just like, oh, I can't really answer them. He finally had the courage to admit that he was just volunteering for the organisation. He was just helping them out. He didn't actually belong to it. The reason I open with this story is because we have been exploring our need to live questionable lives as followers of Jesus, haven't we? That's been the mandate of this series. How do we attract questions of others about the faith? But unless we know what to say when those questions come to us, it'll all be in vain, won't it? If we don't know what to say, we'll just feel like Mike standing dumbfounded on this man's porch, just not sure what to say to these questions. A few weeks ago, we had Karina Peremensky here, one of Mike's colleagues at Morley College. She came and spoke, and she unpacks for us the biblical model for evangelism according to the Apostle Paul, and that is a dual action of gifted evangelists who are called to practice bold proclamation, to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. They're gifted in that area, one of their spiritual gifts. And the other side of the coin is for everyday believers who are to live such surprising lives that they invite questions of their neighbours, the people that they engage with on a regular basis. But again, this only works if you and I have the answers to these people's questions. Amen. And here are a few things to bear in mind when we are to consider how to answer people when they ask such questions of our faith. And the first one is this. Don't preach the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Don't preach the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Well, I wonder if you've heard the joke about the pastor in his service doing a kids talk or a kids spot. And he is asking the kids about this particular creature or this little animal that lives in the trees. There's no response from the children. Okay, so it eats nuts, it's grey, still no answer from the children. It has a long bushy tail. It jumps from branch to branch. It chatters, it flips its tail when it's excited. Still no response from the children. But finally, one little boy tentatively raises his hands and the pastor breathes a sigh of relief. He calls on this young man and the boy says, "It sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer is Jesus." I know the answer is Jesus. As funny as that is, when it comes to responding to people's questions about our faith, the answer is always Jesus. I know it's cliche, but it's the truth. And I found that the church has often told Christians to preach the gospel, and whenever we get the opportunity to do so. But as we mentioned a few weeks ago, this can actually be a bit intimidating for some of us. And Alan sort of mentioned that before. It can be an imitating thing to do for many of us as Christians. But what exactly does it mean to preach the gospel? If we turn back to that passage in Romans that Bill just read out to us, let's have a listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:1. He says this, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God." That's how he starts this passage in Romans 1. And he goes on to describe himself, what he does in this part is describe himself as set apart to preach, teach, and proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to explain what that gospel is. Have a listen to what he says again. "The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. According to Paul, in this passage, the gospel is the story or the narrative of Jesus Christ. That's basically what he's outlining for us here. Here's my messianic credentials, his physical descent from King David, his vindication, validation by the Spirit of God, his resurrection from the grave. It's all about the narrative and the story of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is what I hope we are all meeting here for today because of him. And in fact, every time Paul does explain the gospel, he does so by recounting the life of Jesus. And if we read Paul's lengthy sermon in Acts 13, 16 to 39, where he literally preaches the gospel, the focus is again around the life and the events of Jesus Christ. His royal birth, the miracles that Jesus performed, his teaching, his sacrificial death, again, his resurrection. But even when he doesn't recount Jesus' lifelong story, or his story, or his narrative, he summarizes it like he does in Romans 1. Have a listen to 2 Timothy 2:8. It says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel." According to Paul, the gospel isn't the four spiritual laws. It isn't the bridge to life illustration that some of us probably have used at times. I know I have. But it's all about Jesus. And in particular, first of all, Jesus' claim to the eternal throne promised to King David. Second of all, his embodiment of the presence of God's kingdom. Thirdly, his invitation to enter the kingdom, to enjoy its blessing and embrace its demands. Fourthly, his atonement for the sins of those who could otherwise or would otherwise be condemned at the consummation of the kingdom. And finally, his status as the risen Lord and the coming kingdom. So we can see from this summary of what the Apostle Paul believes the gospel to be, you can see why we say don't preach the gospel, just tell them about Jesus. Because telling them about Jesus ultimately is telling them the gospel, amen. It is telling them the gospel. And that is why it is so important that you and I know the teachings and the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, the stories of Jesus by reading such gospels as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So that when people ask us questions, we can just roll these stories off our tongues. We can answer their questions. We can tell them about the parables of Jesus. When people ask why we host dinner parties for the poor, or why we bless many people each week, or why we volunteer for various organizations. Maybe why we spend our vacation, not holidaying, but spending work, doing some work on a disaster relief project overseas. We can tell them about Jesus. You and I need to be marinated in Jesus, marinated in the Gospels, so that we can be ready to share about Jesus at any occasion in life. This goes back to my point a few weeks back when I talked about if we have 5 minutes, 5 minutes to write down each of Jesus' miracles he performed or the parables that he taught, how many could we list in that 5 minute period? My prayer is that we could rattle off quite a few. But first and foremost, don't preach the gospel, tell them about Jesus. Second of all, don't focus on their sin. Focus on the lordship or the kingship of Jesus Christ. And what you'll notice that none of what Paul says in his gospel sharing in these passages, they don't focus on the sin of people. Romans 1, Acts 13, 2, Timothy 2. If anything, these passages again focus on Jesus' Davidic kingly rule. His rule and reign as the inaugurator of the kingdom, the heavens and the earth. When people ask us, or people ask you and I, why we live as we do, our goal should to let them know that's because of the example and the teaching of Jesus Christ. Amen? The famous missiologist in South Africa, David Bosch, he writes this: "The mission of God's people is to alert others to the universal reign of God. This is something Mark talks about in the opening two chapters of his book. The mission of God's people, our mission as his agents, his missionaries, is to alert others to the universal reign of God through Christ. The universal reign of God through Christ. And if I was to ask you what the reign of God looks like, how could you alert people to the reign of God? What would you answer? What would you say? Well, first and foremost, is it not a kingdom of reconciliation? Is it not a kingdom of justice? Is it not a kingdom of beauty, of wholeness? These are the tangible elements of the kingdom of God that we are called not only to alert people to announce, but also to speak about them. What do they actually look like? What does God's rule and reign look like in terms of reconciliation? What does that look like? What does it look like to be a kingdom of beauty, of wholeness, of justice? What do these elements actually look like? These are some of the questions we need to be asking ourselves so that we can explain to people, this is what I believe in. This is the kingdom I believe will be inaugurated upon Christ's return. Learn the stories of Jesus and how we can both announce them but also demonstrate the kingdom of God. And when people ask us why we're committed to social justice, tell them about Jesus. When people ask you why you feed the poor, why you protect the environment, tell them about Jesus. When people ask you why you make such beautiful arts or produce such beautiful food, tell them it's all expressions of you trying to emulate the teachings and the example of Jesus. And don't be disturbed when we said not to focus on people's sin, because as you do that, people will start to question their own lives. They'll start to question how they're living their life. In Acts 13, the sermon that I referred to earlier, the Apostle Paul, he concludes this way. Have a look. He says, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. He ends up addressing sin. But first and foremost, it's all about Jesus. Because he does talk about the justification by faith, but it's anchored in the messianic rule, the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's anchored in. That's our starting point. That's where we need to begin when we're answering questions of faith. First of all, don't preach the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Don't focus on their sin. Focus on Jesus' kingship. And thirdly and finally, don't focus on the church. Focus on purpose. And this goes to the heart of what we've been speaking about all year. Our theme for the year, 2018, on purpose. What does it look like to live lives of purpose, to become purpose-filled disciples of Jesus? Again, David Bosch writes, at its heart, the gospel is news about God's action and his reign, not his institution. The gospel is about God's action, his rule and reign, not his institution. And I find at times, and I've fallen in this trap many times, that when it comes to answering people's questions, we revert to the church, don't we? Talk about our ministries, our programs, what we're doing. But we must realize that we are not recruitment officers. We're not marketing gurus. So tempting when people ask us questions about the mistakes of the church in the past, the crusades, the abuse of minors by priests, that we feel like it's our job to defend the church. But what Mike talks about is our real gospel ministry is not to defend the church. Again, we're not recruitment officers. It's to alert people to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, or the rule and reign of God through Christ. Instead of trying to promote our church programs or defending our actions of Christians, try focusing on Jesus Christ, because that's why we're here, amen? It's not the church, hopefully, that has transformed your life. It's Jesus through the church. We are a vessel of Christ's rule, his Christ's reign, amen? In and through us, we are used to be the church so that we can alert others to Jesus Christ and how amazing he is. That is our ultimate purpose. God created the world according to his good purpose, and even though human sin interrupted that, even though it opened the door for evil to come into our lives, undermining God's purposes, Jesus took us back. He took the punishment that you and I deserved. He conquered evil. He brings with it forgiveness, and he defeats death so that there will be a new social and political order according to God's purposes, a new order that began the moment he was raised from the grave. And you and I, who have accepted that reality, we live in light of that future in the power of the Spirit. That is the incoming kingdom that we are hoping for, amen?
Amen.
That is the hope that we have. That's what drives us. That is ultimately our purpose. Our purpose is not just to come to church on a Sunday and that's it. Our purpose is to be the church. To be that vessel of all that we've spoken about. That vessel of justice. A vessel of reconciliation, a vessel of hope, joy, peace, all of these things. That is our purpose. That is our responsibility. So when we come to engage with those who don't know Christ, that is our starting point. It's not promoting church events. It's not promoting our programs. It is Christ and the work that he has done so that we may live. In the book Surprise the World, Mike concludes by telling a story about a group of hardcore surfers that he interacted with. And he asked them the question, who's your favourite surfer? And they answered with Kelly Slater, of course, for those who know who Kelly Slater is. 11-time world champion, amazing surfer, still doing it to this day. And he asked these guys about Kelly Slater, and he said, well, what do you know about him? And he said that those went bananas. A smile on their face, and they were able to rattle off where he lived, where he grew up, the type of board that he used, the type of movies and television shows he appeared in, the models and the people that he dated, the women that he dated, they just rattled them all off to him. But what if I or a neighbour were to ask you this question? Tell me, what do you know about Jesus? What do you know? What do you know about him? How did he live his life? Why is he worth following? What would you say? What would you tell them? Well, Mike says this to conclude this chapter. When we live questionable lives, people should see our strange behavior and ask us about our motivations. And then we should be able to speak about Jesus the way the surfers would speak about Kelly Slater. With energy, enthusiasm, with reverence and awe, with delight and wonder. So true. So true. So as we go into our weeks this week, I encourage us again to think about how we can bless three people, two of which may be part of our church and Christians, one of which doesn't go to church, maybe not a Christian. Random acts of kindness, send them a text, tell them you're praying for them, as Chris and Alan said as well. Bless three people, eat with three people this week. One who goes to church, one who doesn't, and one from another, one of those two groups, so another Christian or non-Christian. Thirdly, spend at least one period this week listening to the Spirit's voice, the Spirit's prompting. Who are you sending me to, God? What do you want me to say to them? Ideally, on Monday morning, as you start your weeks, who are you sending me to? And finally, spend at least one period of the week learning about Jesus. Now, one of the best ways that we can spend one period in the week learning Jesus is in the context of small groups, Bible studies. Again, Alan and Gwen do a great job of running that Bible study on the Thursday. Put your hand up to go along to it. If you're struggling to spend time with Jesus in your weeks, then here's an opportunity just to get in your car, go there, learn about Jesus for a night. We're going to talk a bit more about the importance of small group and sort of launching into encouraging our church to engage with that later on down the track. But bless three people this week. Eat with three people this week. Spend at least one period in your week listening to the Spirit's voice. Spend one period in your week learning about Jesus. And as you do that, my prayer is that people start asking questions and we can just rattle off our tongues how amazing Jesus is and all that he has done for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the light for our paths that it is. And Father God, our desire is to alert others to your rule and reign. But Lord, we need you at work. We need you, Holy Spirit, to lead us and to guide us. And you are there just waiting for us to spend time with you, to listen to you and where you are sending us. So, Father, as we come to our weeks this week, I pray that we would learn what it looks like to bless people, to eat with people, to listen to your Spirit's promptings and to learn about you and your way of life, so that when we come to answer people's questions, we can be like those surfers who, with energy and enthusiasm, just say how amazing you are, Lord Jesus. Well, Father, we just pray again for this series that we will continue to engage with those around us who don't know you. And we pray, Lord God, that we can stand next week with stories of how you have been at work, and we believe you're at work. Help us to partner with you to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, do you want to stand up?